Welcome to Support After Abortions podcast. My name is Nathan Masserian, and I'll be hosting a dedicated series called Men Healing from Trauma. In our culture, men are not validated who've experienced trauma through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even abortion. Through this series, you'll hear firsthand experiences. You'll also hear from clergy, clinicians, and experts in the field of healing to provide practical ways that both men and women can heal from the impact of abortion. Welcome back to Support After Abortion. This is our ongoing series focused on men healing from trauma. This is part two of a series that Jeff Joaquin and I are doing. He's been so gracious and quite humble to walk us through his story in our previous episode. If you've not watched it, please visit the Support After Abortion website. Click on blog and you'll see his story and testimony that's there. So for Jeff, those who may not have seen the past recording, you walked us through the suffering and pain that you lived through your main 30s. How would you characterize your life at 30, 35 years old?
Yeah. You know, at 30, 35 years old, Nathan, my version of the Holy Trinity was not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was me, myself, and I. I was, even though I had a beautiful wife of 10 years, and, you know, in my mid-30s, we had been married 10 years, and God bless her. She's my rock. She's everything. Even though God had blessed me with a daughter, you know, at that time in my early 30s, it was still about me. Everything was about me, myself, and I. And then one day, Nathan, my wife and I, we went to Sunday Mass. We were your prototypical Catholics, you know, go to Sunday Mass, put a little bit of money in the basket and think you're going to go to heaven. And I'll never forget this. It was, I believe I was around 38 years old, and we went to Our Lady of the Rosary Parish in Land O'Lakes, Florida. And they had a guest speaker that particular day who walked up to the ambo, and a man who was as small in stature, but a giant in faith, walked up to the ambo. And he started talking about authentic male leadership. He started talking about men being spiritual leaders of their family, started talking about men making sacrifices for their family and living for their family. And I'll never forget this, Nathan. I kind of like I just did. I took my eyes away from the ambo and I looked over at my wife. And in my mind, I was saying, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are playing the New York Giants at 1 o'clock today. And here this guy is up here screaming about being an authentic man and dedicating your life to your family and sacrificing for your family and praying with your family. And I'm thinking my wife is going to look at me and kind of give me an affirmation like, yeah, let's hurry up. And she looked at me and she said, this is for you. Wow. And that changed me. It changed me, Nathan, because now I knew that I wasn't the husband that my wife had wanted. I wasn't the father that my young daughter needed. I was not the spiritual leader of the family. So it was this program, that gentleman, Steve Bowman, and the program was That Man Is You. And I fell hook, line, and sinker for the program. And that was the beginning of my journey back to God from the mess, you know, the God who indeed, I am precious in his eyes and honored, and he loved me. It was only until I started committing myself to him that I began to realize how much he truly did love me.
So following that church experience, you had a very special encounter with the Lord on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Tell us about your story and how that changed your life.
Yeah, that was probably at the age of 39, I believe, Nathan. And we went on a pilgrimage with 50 other men from around the country, the couples. from around the country that are part of that Manus U program. And I had a very, very amazing encounter with the God of the universe inside of the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre, which is where Jesus rose on Easter Sunday. And it was a life-changing encounter for me. And it was in that instant that I saw my entire life of dissipation pass before me. And as Father Ron Aubin was handing me the Eucharist that I was going to consume, in a very profound way, the Lord said to me, I believe I heard him say to me, that Jeff, I don't recognize you for who you were. Mm. I recognize you for who you are. And you are a beloved child of God. And I allowed myself to be crucified on the cross to set captives free. And you, my son, are a captive that was worth setting free. So it was in that experience that life completely changed for me. I had started my spiritual journey, but that was a catalyst that really propelled it moving forward. And as I left the tomb, the words of Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, what you do for the least of my brethren, you do for me, were ringing in my ears for weeks after that. So that was, Nathan, not only the beginning of my deep dive in my personal conversion story, but also my commitment to working for other men that were in need, that were wounded, just like me.
So God has given you, I would say, a very special calling. Maybe just speak to some of the scripture references that are your rock and sure. Why what you hope telling your story does for men and women who hear it.
Yeah, you know, Nathan, it's going back to, and I referred to this quote from first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 24. By his wounds we have been healed. Yes. And it was only until I recognized that I am healed as a child of God by his wounds. But over and above that, it's me showing my wounds to other people that can also help them in their healing. And that was the purpose of the first episode. I don't like calling myself an alcoholic. I don't like calling myself a drug abuser. I don't like to be known as a man who took the life of his unborn child. I don't like to be known as the man who spent 15 years of his life working 24 hours a day so he can become successful. That's not what life is about for me. What life is about for me now is how can I be the best father, the best husband, and more importantly, the best minister, equally as important, the best minister in representation of Christ to others that I can. And the way that I believe that is accomplished is showing wounds to others. I mean, I could tell you 100 stories that have come out of that. And I believe that's the basis for my ministry moving forward.
Jeff, one of the things that we've talked about off camera, and I think it would be encouraging to share, is some of the spiritual disciplines that you walk through. And maybe you could just, not from a bragging standpoint, but from an informational standpoint, talk about some of the disciplines you've put in life that helps you in the healing process. Yeah.
So since the encounter in 2008 in Jerusalem, I've been going to Mass every day for 13 years. And that, I know to some people that probably sounds like it's a easy thing to accomplish, but I can't tell you the number of times, Nathan, that I've been in a business meeting and I've had to, you know, cut it short because I have a 12:10 meeting with my boss. And that can provide, you know, innumerable learning, teaching lessons for those that I'm with when they realize I have to leave a meeting that I'm at so I can go to church. Mm. But I've been going to church every day for 13 years, a great blessing of mine. I go to confession now at least once a week, you know, where I reconcile myself with the God of the universe and all my weakness and my concupiscence. But more than anything, the greatest tool that I've used, and I dare I say that the Eucharist is the most important thing in my life, but reading the Word of God, you know, I since that encounter in 2008, I spend a minimum of 1 to 2 hours a day reading the Word of God, because you can't get healing from God if you don't have a relationship with God. And the only way to have a relationship with God is to spend time with God. And the best way to spend time with God is to read, is to understand him in the Word. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So that Bible, you know, that book with 72 different chapters in it, that is God. And if you want to know God, and if you want to get healing, if you're suffering from alcoholism or drug abuse, or you've taken the life of an unborn child in the past, or made your girlfriend or wife take contraception, abortifacient contraception, or if you've made your wife or girlfriend take the morning after, but whatever it is, God does not care about the mistakes that you have made. He does not judge you for those mistakes that you've made. See, God, the devil, knows you by your name, but he calls you by your sins. God knows you by your sins, and he calls you by your name. Okay? The God of the universe does not care about your past. He cares about your present, and he cares about your future. In the way that you can unite yourself with him, it's through his word, in reading scripture, in going to mass. In more than anything, Nathan, we started this off with you know, me thinking that the Holy Trinity was me, myself, and I. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they manifest themselves to you to the greatest extent possible when you are serving others. If you think your problems are too big for God, you haven't presented them to him. If you think your problems are too big that he can't solve, give him the opportunity, and I promise you he'll solve them for you. I have never gone to counseling. I have never sought professional advice. You're looking at a man who was an alcoholic before he was 21, a drug abuser, womanizer, workaholism, every ism, any ism that you can come up with. I have that as a weakness. I am here today. I am alive today to tell you that if you turn your life over to God, give him some of your time, he will change your life. He will heal your wounds. Your troubles will go away.
Jeff, that's so powerful. And I'm so grateful that you would share that hope and discipline and focus on the Lord. And I can't think of a more powerful way to close this session, but to invite you here in real time to pray over those who are watching and listening. They may take the step to be healed and be set the captives free. Would Amen. You do that for us, Jeff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Luke, chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is speaking of setting the captives free. Okay. So I am a captive even today to my weaknesses, but it is only through him that I am set free. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you in a very special way to come before us today. Come before Nathan and I today and those watching this podcast today. Lord, you know their weaknesses. You know their shortcomings. You know the mistakes that they've made in the past, Lord, but you know them for the authentic, fearfully and wonderfully created daughters and sons of yours. And you love them, Lord. I ask you in a very special way, all of those listening to this podcast right now, come into their hearts, Lord. Even if they have a closed door, Lord, knock on the door, open the door, come into their heart, Lord, and help them to see your loving presence, Lord. Help them to understand that you do not care about the sins of the past and the present. You care about the future of the soul. Lord, I ask that you set the captive free in me. Set the captive free in Nathan and all those who are watching today, Lord. Plant the seeds of grace in their hearts, Lord, and water them so that they may grow into a loving, caring child of God. Do not let the enemy tell them, Lord, that they are not worthy. Do not let the enemy tell them that they are not good enough. Do not let the enemy tell them that their past is too dark for you, Lord. Come into that darkness, Lord. Set the captives free, Lord, and give them the hope and the peace and the joy that only you can bring into their heart, Lord Jesus. You can only have peace of mind and peace of heart from He who created the heart. And that is you, Lord Jesus. Set us free.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, we are here to help, and you are not alone. Our trained staff will meet you with compassion and confidentiality simply by visiting us at supportafterabortion.com. There you'll find a confidential phone number and contact us, in which our staff are standing by, ready to help you and be of assistance.